Our Old Testament lesson returns to the book of Isaiah, one which is visited in this Advent season very often. Listen to the story here told in Isaiah chapter 7. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so that the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken, as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. And then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shir Jashab, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will too be shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings that you dread will be laid to waste. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of the Old Testament. And so we turn to another more familiar story, one relevant, of course, to this very night, from Matthew chapter 1. Beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home to be his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Again, may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As I began studying for a meditation this evening, it occurred to me just how many stories are woven into this one little passage that we read from Matthew. And of course, we usually reread Luke's version of it as well during this time. But how many stories are there about prophecies or prophets that came to be? And I got to thinking, wow, think about in your own family gatherings, and I'm sure this has probably happened even today if you've already gotten the family together. Think about the stories that you have about Christmas's past. I'd love to sit in and hear all of those different stories. It'd be really fun to have them all written down. In my family, for example, there's a story of the Christmas when my teetotaling grandmother was given a cup of enhanced eggnog, and she liked it. And nobody dared tell her that there was alcohol in that eggnog. There's a story of two of Grandma's grandsons playing tag in the house just before Christmas Eve dinner when somehow the Christmas tree came crashing to the floor and all the beautiful ornaments were spread everywhere. Then there's another Christmas when an ice storm hit during the church service, a church service like this one we're celebrating tonight. And many had to wait hours in the church until the roads could be sanded before they could mount up and go home. There are so many stories that have to do with Christmas, aren't there? I know your family has a lot of them. We have so many stories interwoven with this one Christmas story. So tonight we are celebrating the fulfillment of great prophecies that were uttered centuries before the birth of Christ. Now, why did God bother to have all of these prophecies, all of these things happening that would foretold the coming of the Christ child, even into the story from Isaiah, which was 734 years before Christ was born? Why? Why did God do that? As a witness that would benefit the ungodly as well as the God-fearing people. Yes, Christmas is for the ungodly as well as for us, his saints, who gather. Christmas is indeed a time of celebration for all who have experienced his salvation, but is also a sign for those who refuse to believe, for those who might reject the power of God. Think about that story from 734 BC. Ahaz is a king of Judah. He's an unbeliever. Enemy armies are closing in. There is great fear among the people. As Isaiah said, they were shaking like leaves in the breeze. Ahaz himself is a very nervous and indecisive man. His fear and hand-wringing were hard for his people to deal with. He was not the kind of leader you wanted in a difficult situation. And Ahaz is making a backdoor deal with the Assyrians that will offer Judah a military protection, but will ultimately make them the vassal of a ruthless Assyrian dynasty. God sent the prophet Isaiah to warn Ahaz against this alliance and to assure Ahaz that the armies arrayed against him will not be victorious. In fact, in 65 years, they will cease to exist. But as I said, Ahaz didn't have much faith in God. He continued to move toward an alliance with Syria. So once again, God sent Isaiah to him, and God said to Ahaz, ask for a sign, any sign at all, any sign that will show my truth and faithfulness. But Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Remember, you know, Ahaz is not going to commit to anything. He said, nor will I test the Lord. He knew that much, that you're not supposed to test God. To which God replied, is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of God as well? That's perhaps one of my favorite quotations from Scripture. Is it too much, too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of God? I wonder in my own life sometimes how many times I try the patience of God. Ever thought about it that way? But praise God, we got a God that's very, very patient with us and gracious to us. So God says to King Ahaz, he said, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now we have to think about this a little bit, don't we? Remember, this is 734 years before the first Christmas. Is Isaiah telling Ahaz to wait for 734 years? No. Isaiah is telling Ahaz that if he had just had a little faith, to quote Jesus, if he had faith the size of a mustard seed, then God's salvation would manifest itself. The expectant mothers of Judah would all name their sons Emmanuel, for it would be so clear that God was with them. Yes, this was a sign and prophecy for 734 BC, but it was also a sign and prophecy that speaks to unbelievers today in 2021. God, our God, is faithful. How do we know that? Because a virgin was with child. She bore a son, and he is indeed called Emmanuel, God with us. So here we have these two stories interwoven into the Christmas story. They are stories of God patiently pouring out his love upon his people. Think about all of the stories in the Bible that are interwoven with this one Christmas story. The stories of whole families. Last Sunday we talked about the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And how Mary, when she got the news that she was to carry the Christ child, ran to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb at the sound of Mary's voice. That story, the story of Zechariah, who was made dumb by the angel because he dared question what God was doing. These stories are woven into this one Christmas story. As I said, then in Christ, our stories get woven into the tapestry of Christmas. God loves a good story, doesn't he? Think about how many times in the Bible God tells the story of a childless woman who perhaps gets up in years, like Sarah, or Hannah, or Elizabeth. Then God, in his mercy and his power, allows them miraculously to get pregnant and to give birth. Love, God loves a really incredible story, like a virgin who becomes pregnant. One who is selected to carry the Son of God into the world. These are incredible stories. God loves them. And of course, God weaves in the stories of shepherds and angels and magi and even an innkeeper who has no room. All of these things, all of these people, all of these stories are interwoven. Now, again, I say it, in Christ, we're part of this greater story. The tales of Christmas's past and the tales that will be told about Christmas 2021 are woven into the fabric of the faithful, the fabric of Christmas, woven into the stories of Ahab and of Mary and of Joseph and so very, very many others. So my wish for you this evening is that may your stories be filled with God pouring out his love into your family, your home, and your community. To the joy of Christmas and the joy of meeting our Savior. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a brief prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful stories. When we think about all that we have learned from our childhood up, improbable, incredible stories about your power. We think about Jonah, about Noah, about David and Goliath. Wonderful stories, but they don't match the story of Jesus coming into our world, into our lives, and weaving our story with his. Thank you. May the stories continue to be told and relished and blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.